In lieu of the sermon, we have today a reading service, and you can probably see the four chairs out here and the chairs behind me. We have a crucifixion account, which has been put together, and it's a blending of various sections of the gospel, various translations of the gospel accounts of Christ's words leading up to his crucifixion and during the crucifixion. And we have four readers. I myself will narrate, and I invite you to simply sit and listen. It will be a bit hard to follow the scriptural references. We won't be giving them because in that for that reason. But I invite you just to join in and listen. And I encourage you, and I challenge you, to listen to the story that's given. The accounts come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And to listen out for things that you may not have heard before. Because as I was reading through this service, going through the various stories we're given, something always pops out to me that, I'd never noticed that before. And as you listen and listen actively, it will happen. Because this is God's word. There's depth of themes, there's layers of depth as well. And the story we're given has a lot of meaning on the surface, but also a lot of meaning underneath as well. And some even parts of the story that I think, oh, didn't that happen before that? So as we sit and listen, I encourage you to actively listen. And maybe afterwards also have a chat to people. What did you learn about this service? And what did you learn about this story that we've got today? So it's an opportunity to hear scripture read aloud, which is what they often did in Jesus' day. So I'd like to invite the readers forward. Helen, Stephen, David and Nadia. And I'll take a seat to the side as a narrator. Jesus alerted his disciples to his crucifixion on a number of occasions in the last year of his ministry. But as the gospel accounts all tell us, they remained largely oblivious to the pending events. So we start with this section where, for a third time, Jesus announces to his disciples his death and resurrection.
They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said.
Some Greeks wished to see Jesus.
Now among those who went up to the worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve him, him will my Father honour."
Jesus speaks about his death.
"Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them.
Further plotting to kill Jesus.
When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly to kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people, for they were afraid of the people.
The anointing at Bethany.
While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table of the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those disciples present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus to them. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
2 days later, Jesus celebrated the Passover in Jerusalem with his disciples, as we rehearsed on Thursday evening.
And Jesus said to the disciples, you will become deserters of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said, enough though, even though all become deserters, I will not.
Jesus predicts Peter's denial.
Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times that you know me. But he said vehemently, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same. He said to them, when I sent you out without a purse, a bag or sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, no, not a thing. He said to them, but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he is counted among the lawless, and indeed it is written about me, is being fulfilled. And they said, look, Lord, there are 2 swords. And he replied, it is enough.
Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives.
He came out from the supper and went, as is his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. Then Jesus went with them across the Kidron Valley to a place called Gethsemane, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. He said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. I am going a little farther, about a stone's throw. He threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for all things are possible with you. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from his prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. He said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of, trial. And he said to Peter, So Simon, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away for the second time and prayed. My Father, if you cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. So leaving them again, he went and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, also knew this place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police, and they came from the soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, the scribes and the elders. And they came there, a crowd with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, For whom are you looking? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus replied, I am he. Jesus, who betrayed him, was standing with them. Then Jesus said to them, I am he. They stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, For who are you looking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken. I did not lose a single one of those who you gave me. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man? Jesus said, Friend, do what you are here to do. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword back in its sheath. I am not to drink the cup that the Father has given. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way? And he touched his ear and healed him.
Jesus is then taken before the high priest.
So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish people arrested Jesus and bound him. Then Jesus said to the crowds, the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But all this has taken place so the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world, and I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. If I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Those who had arrested Jesus then took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, for many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple of God that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, I am. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He is blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. Then they spat in his face, blindfolded and beat him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" And they kept heaping many other insults on him. And the guards took him and slapped him.
Peter then denies Jesus.
Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus at a distance. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of the man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself in the firelight. Peter then sat among them, and one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself She stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." The others asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you're talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." Then about an hour later, one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" The bystanders kept insisting, "Surely this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean. Your accent betrays you." Then Peter began to curse, and he swore on oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Pardon me. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Jesus is taken before the council, the Sanhedrin.
When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes and the elders, gathered together and conferred against Jesus in order to bring about his death. And they brought him to the council. They said, "If you are Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. And later, falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." After conferring together, they used them to buy the plotter's field as a place to bury foreigners. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem. For this reason, the field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set by some of the people of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded them.
Jesus is next taken before Pilate.
Then the assembly rose as a body, bound him, led him away, and took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters, the Praetorium, where they handed him over to Pilate, the governor. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters, the Praetorium, so as not to avoid ritual defilement, to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king. If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was about to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters, the Praetorium again, and summoned Jesus, and he asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so. Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, and for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate asked him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no case against him. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders of many things, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, Have you no answer? Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you? But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. But they were insistent, and said, He stirs the people up by teaching throughout Judea, from Galilee, from where he began, even to this place.
So Jesus appears before Herod.
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Now at the festival, the governor used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now, a notorious prisoner called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him. So after they have gathered, Pilate said to them, But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now the chief priests and the elders stirred up and persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? Then they all shouted out together, Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us! Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the Jewish soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they threw a purple robe around him. Then they kept coming up to him and saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And slapped him. Pilate went out again and said to them, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Here is the man. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah, the man you call the King of the Jews? When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify him! Pilate said to them a third time, Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him. Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him. But they shouted all the more, Let him be crucified! The leaders of the Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters, the Praetorium, again and asked Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me unless I had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews shouted, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about 6 a.m. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts, take him away, crucify him," and their shouts prevailed. Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
Pilate then hands Jesus over to be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood is on us and our children." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, decided that the demand should be granted. So he released Barabbas for them, the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and after flogging Jesus, delivered him up to their will to be crucified. Then the Roman soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, the Praetorium, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head with a cane in his right hand, and knelt before him and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him. They took the cane and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. He went out carrying the cross himself. As they led him away, they seized a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they laid the cross on him, and they compelled this man to carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who mourned and wailed for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do not, for if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him.
And when they came to a place called in Hebrew Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with myrrh. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus there with the two criminals, bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." And this was to fulfill what Scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Pilate also had an inscription of the charge against him written and put on a cross. It read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but "This man said, 'I am the king of the Jews.' And Pilate answered, 'I've written what I have written, I have written.' And the people stood by watching. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, 'Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him among themselves, saying, 'He saved others, he can't save himself. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. He is the King of Israel, the Messiah. Let him come down from the cross now so that we may see and we may believe in him.' He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him some sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves.' The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. One of the criminals who hung there kept deriding him and saying, 'Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Ours, however, is only right, for we are getting what we deserved for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' He replied, 'Truly, I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise.'"
Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed, and about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, this man is calling for Elijah." After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filling it with sour wine, and put it on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down and save him." When Jesus received the sour wine, crying with a loud voice, he said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he bowed his head and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And these, after his resurrection, came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion who stood facing him, who with those with him was keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." Those with him were terrified and said together with him, "Truly, this man was God's son."
Finally, Jesus' side is pierced.
Since it was a day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and his others who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers stabbed his side with a lance, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this was testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled, none of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of Scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. And when all the crowds who had collected there for this spectacle saw that it had taken place, they returned home beating their breast. But all his acquaintances, including the many women also there who had followed Jesus from Galilee up to Jerusalem and had provided for him, were looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
In some ways, this service isn't finished, because we know the story continues tomorrow. And all invited for the 10 a.m. service